In Merlin, the TV series, we got a Smallville approach to the Great Wizard as a young man who becomes a friend to young Arthur, not yet a king. This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. This is the first of a series of specials covering this unique approach to the Arthurian legend. And that's what Katie McGrath at the beginning of Season 3, who wonderfully played Morgana.
Great to talk to you. I love the show.
Oh, listen. Thank you so much. Emerson, thank you so much for doing this. I know it's been a bit messy with me being all over the place. I really appreciate your patience.
It's not a problem at all. It's great. It's great to talk to you guys and promote this really interesting version of Camelot. And you definitely have crossed over into your own thing kind of territory at this point. So it's good. I've kind of thrown the other one away or pushed it aside. And I'm just going to let you guys take me on the journey that you're on right
now. Oh, thank you so much. I'll tell everyone that. It'll really, really make their day, I swear. Because the show that it is, because it's based on a legend and because the story's been told so many times, you obviously get quite a lot of comparisons. And I think from the outset, producers and everybody really wanted to do something different and show something new. And it's really nice to hear from people that we've achieved it because everybody works so hard.
Oh, I know. And as we're going to be getting season 3 here in the States, and that's just awesome. I'm so glad about that. Because on Sci-Fi, it really found a good home, and the ratings have been great for the show. So Morgana's been away for a year, and I know other interviewers have asked you, but will we find out exactly what happened to her during the course of the season? Any flashback stuff by any chance?
I think as the season goes on, it becomes absolutely clear what has happened in her year away. While you don't see it, you know, visually explicitly, through actions and through the storytelling and through her general character and her relationships with the other characters, you're left in no doubt as to what has happened while she's been away. But if you think you're going to get it all in one, you know, one heaped teaspoon, you're wrong. You're going to have to be patient and wait it out. One thing that Merlin is really, really good at, one of the many things is teasing out a storyline. And a season 3 very much is kind of the progression of Morgana as a character. You know, there's a lot of other stuff that goes on, but since you're talking to me in my head, season 3 is all about her.
There you go.
More with Merlin the series in a moment.
I mean, she obviously, one of the things that as a shift in her character, she's kind of embracing her dark side a lot more now. Is that going to impact her relationships, like with Gwen, with Arthur, obviously, and even Uther of King Pendragon?
Well, I think you can't underestimate the fact that, you know, the change that has happened because she's been away. You know, obviously, when you left her off at episode 12 in season 2, this amazing transformation had happened to her and her relationship with Merlin. She obviously knew what had happened, knew what Merlin had done to her. She knew what she'd done to Camelot. She's not the same person. And I think the major thing that happens with Morgana is that she becomes accepting of who she is and what it means to be her and accepting that she does have magic. And by doing that, that is obviously going to bring her further away from the people that she's known. I mean, for one, you know, accepting that she has magic and becoming okay with that means and comes into direct conflict with Uther, because obviously that completely goes against everything that he believes. And by extension, then with Arthur, because Arthur is so close to Uther, and then Gwen, because Gwen is so close to Arthur. I mean, it is a domino effect. And I think it was very important for her as a character to become okay with who she was, because she spent so much of season 2 struggling with it. In season 3, she really does sort of come to terms with it, and it's nice to be able to play that. And from my point of view, it's like playing a whole new character, so I get a fresh start, which was fun.
I mean, a lot's been made about the original triangle, Arthur, Guinevere, and Lancelot. And we'll actually see Lancelot again this season, which is great. But, you know, I think what your show is actually focused on a new triangle. That's Morgana, Merlin, and Arthur, and really the three of them, how, you know, that obviously Merlin perceives Morgana as a threat to Arthur, and now it's like you're all kind of intertwined as a result of that. I think that's a triangle worth watching on the show now.
Oh, I like the way you're looking at this. And it's actually, it's very interesting. In the first couple of episodes, Merlin has sort of a heart-to-heart with the dragon, as he wants to do. And he says a very interesting thing about the relationship between Merlin and Morgana. And he sort of says that, I'm the darkness to his life. You know, the sort of the good to the evil. So the two of us, I always look at Merlin and Morgana as essentially coming from the same point. They have the same experiences. They both discover they have magic and they don't know what to do and they don't have anyone to turn to. And the difference is that Merlin had Gaius.
Yes.
While Morgana didn't. So she was completely lost. And so where Morgana ends up, and we all know where she ends up.
Yeah.
She goes that way because that, I think, was the only way that was open to her. And by doing that, obviously, it becomes into, you know, direct conflict with Arthur, who, you know, is seen as the good in the show. And you know, while he is, you know, the prince and, you know, and the kind-hearted and everything else like that. I mean, obviously, I have a personal investment in the character of Morgana, and I don't see her as evil. I see her as going the only way that she could, the only options that were open to her, the only person who was all sympathetic to her was Morgause, so obviously she's going to go down that road. Mm-hmm. So, like you say, it brings up this really interesting new triangle that you have of, you know, Merlin and Morgana being the different sides of the same coin, and then Arthur, who is, you know, obviously going to rule the kingdom, and whether Merlin is going to be on his side or her side or where it's going to go, you're going to have to wait and see. But yes, it is a new triangle. That is my very long-winded way of saying that and agreeing with you. I'm sorry.
Another very good casting move was made in getting Anthony Stewart Head to play King Uther.
Well, I think in the mythology, the way you play him and the way he's written, I think this Uther's a little bit more noble than we've seen Uther in the past portrayed on film or even from the novels themselves.
I don't know about noble, because there really is some stuff coming up in season 3 which is fairly ignoble. But I think, as I say, he has the right reasons for, you know, everybody. I mean, I'm sure somewhere in the dark recesses of Hitler's brain, he must have thought he was doing something right. You know, megalomaniacs and all the rest of it, they all, for some reason, they think they're doing something. You know, I mean, Mugabe must have some reasoning going on in there besides just being a megalomaniac. It's set in the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
It's, you know, at a time when the logical way to rule was to instill fear and to make people frightened of you. Therefore, you maintain your position, and it's the, you know, the guy with the biggest stick to beat people with. But you know, he's a Victorian father. He's an old-fashioned king. There's not an awful lot. I was originally researching, and there's not an awful lot written about him apart from the fact that he was a drunken, carousing womanizer. And there's memories of that find their way through in not so much the drunken or the carousing, but the stuff comes out in season 3, which is quite interesting. I wanted to establish that he was a warrior king, that he found, you know, he fought his way to get to where he is and to win Camelot, and he sort of, you know, now he holds on to it as best he can, and magic is really, it's the allegory for it's sort of, it's the stuff you don't understand, it's the stuff that you don't trust, it's the sort of the thing. There's one episode, I think, in season 1 even, I think, that where I say, you know, it's undermines everything we stand for. It eats away at the very fabric of the society that we've built. And that, you know, the fear of that is very real. For Uther, and so it's not difficult to play. And I don't think he's terribly noble. As I say, you know, he's a king, and he believes in the sort of the nobility of knights and all the rest of that. But his own behaviour is probably quite questionable. It has to be in order to create the Arthur that we know.
Sure.
I wasn't really sure she'd be a good Guinevere. I just didn't think she was a type, to be honest, and I'm just being honest. But Angel Colby, as the blacksmith's daughter who would be queen, totally won me over.
The funny thing is, when I saw you as Guinevere, I'm sure with a lot of people, we were sort of like, we're not used to that. You're not the traditional view of Guinevere. But really, I just looked for was, you know, if the actress can show me that she is the one that's going to be the one that captures not only Arthur's eyes, but also is the one that will cause his future heartbreak, and by her performance, and then like watching her, you know, as a blacksmith's daughter and all the things that she knew, I said, you know, I like the direction they went with her and who they got to play her.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. That's very nice of you to say. Yeah, I guess it's, you know, it's true that a lot of people wouldn't have thought that I would be, you know, the one to play her. But like you say, I've always kind of thought it's about the portrayal. It's about the portrayal of the performance. And if you believe the actress, if you believe the character, then that's really all that matters in the end of the thing. And also, it's a kind of it's a modern twist on a kind of a very old legend. So I think you kind of, you know, I guess it makes sense in that way as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, now we were only seeing season two, but have you already started shooting the third season?
Yeah, we have. We started in March. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, we're well ensconced in filming now.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
The episode that airs is The Sins of the Father coming up. That looks it's a big duel coming up for Arthur.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the one with Uther. That must be.
Yes.
We filmed it such a long time ago. I can't remember. that's a kind of a real moment for Arthur. He finds out some kind of quite heart wrenching information, which makes him kind of challenge his trust in his father, really. And it's probably the first time you start to see him. I mean, he always kind of stands up for himself when it comes to his father, but ultimately he kind of has to obey in the end, or let Uther think he's obeyed. Whereas this time it's a kind of a real emotional battle. So it's quite interesting.
How has it been for you to play Gwen, and what's been the most challenging for you?
I mean, I've really enjoyed playing Gwen. I think she's such an amazing person in the way she sort of is so, like, unbelievably noble. She always does, you know, the right thing, no matter how much it kind of pains her. You know, for example, with Arthur, you know, she knows that she thinks is never going to be, and she sort of has to let him go. And I think that's something that's really, really painful for her, but she does it anyway for the sort of the good of, you know, the good of Camelot, whatever, the good of him and the good of his relationship with his father and stuff. And the challenging things, I mean, you know, it's such good fun to play, and the writers kind of give you everything you need, so it's not like it's a hugely sort of challenging role in that way. But I guess in terms of her kind of journey to becoming queen, you need to be able to see, I guess I'm kind of quite a confident person in general, but Gwen needs to have that kind of softness and that kind of that gradual change from her being, you know, just a maid into kind of, you know, a great noble woman, which she will eventually become, and that has to be sort of a slow burn. So sort of letting that bleed out slowly is I suppose the sort of the most challenging thing. So it kind of keeps people interested, and she isn't just suddenly kind of, you know, much more confident, much more self-assured person.
Now, how has the chemistry between the cast evolved as the you know, now you're into three, so how has that evolved, and what's it like when you all get back together after start a new series?
It's really nice. I mean, we come towards the end of the series and everyone is exhausted, you know. We kind of work for 8 months of the year and very long hours, so it's kind of like, it's nice to kind of, you know, go away and have a break, and then, but when you come back, it's really nice to see everyone, and, you know, it is kind of very, kind of like a family, really. It's such a cliche to say in television and stuff, but you work with these people so much that you really get to know them, and the crew has been pretty much the same, since the beginning. I think the production company, they don't only cast the cast, they sort of cast the crew as well, so you get a really nice bunch of people who are all kind of very dedicated to creating a good show, and it's a really nice atmosphere on set.
Now, do you have like a wish list for Gwen? What would you like to see happen for her, especially now that, you know, you're into three, but what would you like to see down the road for her?
I always say
I'd like her to have some more sword fighting.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoy doing that. So I always think she should be, like, you know, a kind of warrior queen Guinevere when she becomes queen. I don't know if that will happen. I'd be also interested to see, to explore her relationship with Morgana more. I think it's always kind of taken for granted that they have grown up together and that they're good friends and stuff, but I don't think the writers have kind of explored that side yet. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure at some point they'll kind of probably, you know, kind of their friendship will sort of begin to fall apart a bit because Morgana's obviously beginning to sort of change, have these weird dreams and stuff. And it's making her treat people close to her a lot kind of differently. I'd be really interested to kind of explore that storyline. Yeah, so they're probably the two main things.
It does seem like the Arthurian legend does have triangles in it, and certainly the triangle of Morgana, Guinevere, and Arthur is a very interesting one. And as just for the reason you mentioned, Morgana is going to pull away, and then Arthur and Guinevere are going to get closer together. So I think, the dichotomy of that, lends for some good drama down the road, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I really hope they kind of bring that in as a poignant story. That would be really good fun.
Mm-hmm. Great bunch of people that you work with, too. Some really good young actors. Bradley is tremendous as Arthur. And, all that's really missing eventually is the goatee or the beard that he grows, but he's there.
you had one of those for a bit.
Yeah, we do. And, of course, Morgan as Merlin is fantastic. Colin is just great.
Yeah. No, it's really good fun. We've all developed a kind of a nice chemistry, you know, on and off set now. And, it's nice to work with actors that you can trust. You know, you can kind of feel free to do what you like in a scene and they're not going to, you know, make you feel uncomfortable or anything like that. So it's a good bond we've got.
More on the magical wizard and his TV series in a moment.
And Anthony Stewart Head, I mean, he's done Buffy, so he knows what it's like to be on a long series. Do you ever pick his brain about that and stuff like that?
Well, I guess, yeah, in a way. I mean, he's always kind of a good person to kind of just to talk to generally about everything, really. He's, you know, he's really open and lovely and really good fun as well. He's always got, if we want, he's always got advice, but he never kind of offers it, you know, without being asked. You know, has enough respect for us and our own careers not to try and tell us how we should do anything. So it's like, he's just a really lovely guy to have around.
Well, you know, his Uther is fantastic, and he really has such a tightrope he has to walk. He has to protect Arthur, and he also has to protect his kingdom, too. So, and sometimes they always are the same, the same kind of, they don't always... they actually overlap and conflict each other sometimes, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I think he always says about Uther, you know, I would say my character thinks he's like just evil, basically. You know, he murdered her father and he's quite ruthless, and but Anthony always says, you know, he's kind of misunderstood, which is probably true. I mean, he does have to protect the kingdom, as you say, and he has a duty, and, you know, he truly believes that all magic is bad, therefore that the way to protect the kingdom, whereas obviously, you know, we're finding out that it's not the case, and maybe it's time for change, but, you know, Uther doesn't realize that, obviously.
Now, how do you find working with the effects on the show? I mean, after now, you're pretty much a veteran with it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a huge amount to do with that stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's mainly sort of Merlin's area.
Right.
But I've done a bit of stuff, and it's kind of like anything else, you know, you just have to kind of use your imagination, and that's obviously a huge part of acting. And, you just have to trust that the special effects people are going to make it look like you're actually, you know, you are looking in the right place, or you are talking to a dragon or whatever it is. And they're brilliant. So, you know, you're in good hands that way. But, it's just using your imagination, it's having a vivid imagination, which is an important thing.
Now, would you say her wardrobe has evolved as the show has gone on?
Yes, I say punch in the air. I'm really glad, because I much prefer the way she's looking in this series compared to the previous one. I think they kind of wanted her to go on a bit of a journey, you know, in that sense as well. Kind of becoming more noticeable to Arthur in the kind of, you know, she becomes more attractive on a physical level. Sort of things. I think they wanted to hold something back in the first series. She was kind of quite her outfits were kind of quite simple, let's say, whereas now they're kind of a bit more elaborate and a bit more kind of colourful. And yeah, I love the costume. Charlotte Morris, the costume designer, is just brilliant. She's got, you know, such kind of brilliant vision about the show, and she's made it all look so wonderful that, yeah, I'm really pleased now.
If I had a personal wish, I would kind of like to see Gwen and Arthur kind of move a little bit towards that relationship that we're familiar with, or at least start the beginnings of that. You know, I would love to see that.
Yeah. I think the problem with that is that we kind of, I mean, I always imagine that that's kind of going to be coming towards the end of our story as a prequel. So you can't, I mean, even though I think the writers did move things on quite substantially from series one to series two, you know, Arthur and Guinevere kissed in episode two, which I was kind of surprised to read. I was like, but they've never had any involvement before. How can they kiss? But it makes sense in the episode because he really starts to see her as a kind of human being and kind of starts to fork her, and she starts to see him as more of a human being. And, but I think, you know, there's going to be various challenges with that relationship. I think you can start to see it moving into an actual, you know, romantic relationship, but there's so many kind of obstacles in the way that it's not going to be an easy ride. Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to attend several roundtables with the cast of Merlin at San Diego Comic-Con, and here's Katie McGrath on Morgana turning a little darker.
It didn't happen all of a sudden, because then I think, A, it's more believable because you can see her journey and you can understand why she's done it. And it makes it, I think, more of a sympathetic character, even though she is obviously going to become the villain. She's in a way sympathetic because you can understand that she has, in fact, been pushed to it. She's a victim of the circumstances that she's been put in. And she's not out and out evil. She is just trying to do the best that she can. And she's doing what she believes is right. The irony is she truly is Uther's daughter. They are, in fact, the same person. They have the same views on things. They're just coming from different sides of the coin.
What's interesting, there was this one scene that we saw where it was between her and Uther, where she just literally just spews venom at him and pretty much tells him she hates his guts. That was a very big moment for both of them.
Yeah, it was.
So, and he was obviously crushed. What was it like for both of you to be like seeing, you know, to play that with them?
Harrowing. Toby's such a nice man. I never wanted to hurt him. And he was, and when he was playing it, he was, you know, he was acting, but he was crushed. And in my head, I'm going, "Come, I'm making Tony upset." No, Katie, it's not real. It's not real. Come on. I think it was difficult to film, but at the same time, that for me was a direct lead on from the scene that I had with him, where I woke up realizing that he was, in fact, my father. And that for me is a pivotal scene for Morgana, because she's begging him to accept her, begging him, and he doesn't. He denies her to her face, where she essentially tells him that she knows the truth, and he says, you know, "You're not enough, you're not good enough, and I'm not going to do it." And for her, I think that sealed the deal of the path that she was going on. Had he accepted her at that point, I think she would have, you know, joined the force, joined the good side, you know. But because she didn't, I think the scene with him that you're talking about is her getting back at him for that. And I think most of what she did in the end of season three is as a direct result of being denied, you know.
We were talking about it, that the other show based on the Arthurian legend is actually gone now. I mean, it's got to be gratifying that after really kind of a strange start here in the U.S. on NBC not doing well, and then finding a really solid audience on sci-fi, that's got to be gratifying.
Yeah, but sci-fi supported us so well and still do, and they really got the show. You know, they really understood what it was and where it needed to be. And the one channel that needed to be on in America was sci-fi, and they absolutely committed to it. And we won the lottery with that. I mean, it was amazing for it to be on NBC, but with sci-fi, like I said, they got behind it completely, and they love it. And that makes you feel really great. And with the other show, with Camelot, it's not even the same. We never put it in the same box. I mean, Camelot's closer to Game of Thrones. It's closer to the Borgias. It's on that kind of level. And while there is a character called Merlin, there's a character called Arthur, and there's a Bond girl playing Morgana, which was always fun for me. That was really, when I found that one out, I did have a clutch. The best Bond girl in the last 15 years is playing the same role as you, and you're just like, oh, even on your best day, you do not want that comparison. But it is a different show, and I think it's a really good example of the Arthurian legend, how it can be retold in so many formats, and that's why it's a legend that's lasted so long. It is essentially the same legend, but it's a completely different telling. And you know, I think we never really felt threatened by it. In anything, it kind of helped us to have something different, and that, you know, you could see it, and it was good for our profile. But I think it's much closer to Game of Thrones and much closer to the Borgias and things like that. And I'm glad it was Game of Thrones that didn't get cancelled because it's my favourite book. Isn't it amazing? I saw the new one at the airport and it was like that big and I was like, I can't carry it with me. I really can't, so I'll wait till I get home. My friend just got cast in the show and I am deathly jealous. I was like, I can't believe it, no. But you know, you're going to tell me all the scripts, right? Just going to let me know what's happening. I've read the books, but just, you know, let me know.
And casting young actor Colin Morgan, they did the old wizard proud, but it certainly is a challenging role for sure.
Welcome. It's so exciting, and there's no denying that whenever you started something like this, there's no way you could have possibly comprehended where it was going to go, and that's not that you didn't believe in it. It's just that you always want to be part of something special and unique and successful. But the fact that it's gone and now here fourth series sitting in San Diego talking to you guys, it's unbelievable.
For season three that we've seen in the States here, what's been interesting is a lot of the quests that Arthur's gone on. Of course, Merlin's been there right with him.
Mm.
What has that done for their relationship? Because they've at times, and actually played comedically, they've been butting heads a little bit. So, has it hurt it or improved their relationship?
It's a funny situation because you're playing with status games here of royalty and servanthood, and that in the world, in this medieval world we live in, can never be overcome. They are good friends because of those journeys that they've been on and the conflicts that they've had and the connections that they've made. And there's these moments throughout season three where, although they are complete opposites and they're completely different people, that suddenly you see they've got elements of loneliness, of missing parents in their life, which they have in common, and these weird moments of that. And they're both not good about talking about how they feel, like guys don't do. So, you've got those kind of things where it's, you're not supposed to talk about those things, but when they do, you kind of go, actually, they're pretty similar in their very different ways. And that's, I think that's improved their relationship. But it's a funny thing now going into the fourth series, because it's almost time to put those childish things away, in a sense. And I don't know how ready Merlin is to do that anyway, and it's about grappling to hold on to what's been deeply there for so long. And Merlin's in a lost place, really. As everyone's sort of taken their places and moving towards things, Merlin's in the middle watching all this, going, where does he go? So that's a big theme for Merlin in this new season coming up.
What from the legend is there something that he is looking forward to playing in the series?
Growing up, I knew as much really about the Arthurian legend as anyone knew, the Sword and the Stone stories and the brief kind of Knights of the Round Table. Since being involved in the show, I read up lots about the legends and lots about that, and it was great to be informed and to know about that world and to educate yourself about that, because while you're working in this in that kind of genre, it helps just to know. Not that you use everything, but this is very much a retelling, and if anything, reading more about the legends reaffirmed the fact that every version you read is a retelling, and that you have to retell it. You can't recreate, and that's what I found out. I mean, it's great to know all this stuff, but you gotta tell your story now. I like there's a great story of the Mad Merlin, which I like the feel of, which is it plays in the fact that, the stuff he's going through in this new season coming up, he could very well go mad, go a bit nuts. But there's a great thing that he was called Mad because he didn't agree with war. He didn't, anyone in that era who didn't see that as a strategy and as a way of solving problems was called Mad, and why? And so he retreated from that world and he went off into the woods to consult with the stars and what he believed in, and I like an element of solitude to find out how he can solve this. And there's wars and battles coming up in this series galore, and so there's room for it, and something I'd love to see. But my favourite thing was the Crystal Cave, which we got to explore last series, so I hope that comes back more.
I think for you as an actor this past season that we've seen, you really have had the challenge of balancing comedic moments and dramatic moments. How has that been for you? Is that probably one of the most difficult seasons for you as a result?
it's been one of the most liberating, really, because it's whenever you can lift up a script, you know, a few scripts and go, oh, every story is so different from the next, and it's a different Merlin in each one almost, and you have to put on the mask of who he is, because he's so, you know, everyone is different people with different people all the time, and more so for Merlin because of the secret he harbors, and in that world it's a challenge. So whenever you read a script and you go, how, that's the best, you know, if you look at it and you think it's safe, that's always, I always feel a bit scared about that. It's when you look at it and you go, how am I going to do this, and that's a good place to start. His dream's so big, his ambition's so big, to live in a world where magic is free, where as a result then he can be free, and that it's ruled by this great king. That's his ambition, to achieve that. He would be the idiot to mess that up, and if he took the wrong opportunity at the wrong time and the wrong elements, if something wasn't right, if nothing was set in place, and he decided to reveal the biggest thing that could ruin everything, you know, it's more and more throughout the series I've realized he can't unless he knows it's right, unless he knows every single thing is set in place. And in the fourth season, he gets the biggest opportunity he possibly can to get towards that, and he takes it. So we'll have to see how that works out.
Is there a point during the course of this series where Arthur figures out what Merlin is doing, using his magic, and maybe turns a blind eye to it?
That would be an interesting way to explore that, I think, because it's going to be an interesting thing when Arthur finds out, how does he react? Merlin's biggest fear is that you've got a sort of a reincarnation of Uther within him, and that's the biggest fear Merlin has. So it would need to be, if it's going to be an accidental thing, I mean, that comes from Arthur. If it's a deliberate thing, it very much has to be from Merlin. So how they choose to explore that will be, I mean, I'm interested to see how they'll do that.
He talks about balancing his work schedule.
It's big. Well, 13 episodes. We filmed for 8 months of the year, so it's a good big chunk of the year. And I've done some.
How many months?
8 months.
8 months.
Yeah. So I've done some stuff in between. I did a play just before starting in London this year, just before starting the fourth series. And I've done a couple of films, which one of which will be coming out in the States next year. I think. In March time next year. It's called Parked, and it's getting released in the UK this November. So so it's exciting to be involved in other things, you know, as exciting as liberating as it is to do something as variety as this. It's good to kind of touch base with other elements as well. And it's good, it's always good, I think, whenever you gotta explore everything, I think, as an actor, and if a challenge comes up, take it, you know. It's you know, we don't have a choice with each episode, because you read it and you go, how am I going to do this? And when you read all their scripts, you think, whoa, this would be hard, or this would be challenging. And that's what I always look at, because I've been surprised by the scripts. So the most, I think this has been the season where that has the most surprises in terms of story and in terms of what the characters do. I've been surprised at the turns it's been taken, and to be involved in the show right from the beginning, to know everything inside out, and then to read a script and go, whoa, I think that's a huge testament to the writers and the producers for the difference that they're making for this season.
What about playing the older Merlin, Emrys?
So, which is cool, but I mean, it's different, because the Merlin that you see in this picture, that's Merlin. The Merlin that I play, you know, as myself, is actually is a dragoon. This character that Merlin's made up, and he's playing what he thinks an old man would be like, and what an old man can get away with, which just happens to be ignorance and anger and insults. So that's kind of that's something fun for me to play as well. And there's a lot of that actually. There's one episode where I'm basically three different people, which was exciting for me to play.
The series' popularity grew, and that meant more people visiting the set.
particularly when we go to France, and there's a lot of people there. You know, it's not something we're used to, and it's not ever anything that you want to reject or feel opposed to. It's just that it's strange that when you're filming in a studio for so long, and suddenly you've got an audience watching the scene. But this year there's been massive amount of people there, and it's so exciting to see, because it is growing, it is getting bigger, and also that's more people getting to see that awesome castle as well, which it's amazing. Like, it's such a cool place. So fan support has always been fantastic. It just feels more this year.
Because of the arrogance of Arthur and Merlin's temperament, do you think they balance each other out?
In a way, he's trying to bring Arthur around to his way of thinking, but with Arthur's morals and heart still in the right place. And at the minute, Arthur's heart's telling him magic is evil. You've got a little Uther sitting in Arthur's heart going, no! wrong! And Merlin's trying to extract that little Uther out and trying to go, look, in inadvertent ways. So you can't shock him, or Uther will attack his heart in there. It's a case of weeding out what years and years of mindset, years and years of training against magic, coming from someone who is born with it and who is it's so natural as breathing.
He looks ahead as to what Merlin's future could be.
That's the thing, is it's whenever there's mature elements within young characters and where they're going, to explore someone way in the future and to go, right, you get a grounding of where he's going to end up. But it fuels the journey to that point. It's always exciting to explore the future and the possibilities. And we're lucky to be on the journey to where that's going.
You can see Merlin on Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu all the by. This is a unique series with a talented young cast surrounded by capable veterans. It also opened the door for the Arthurian legend to younger viewers. I love that they were not shy about diversifying their cast. That's magic to me. Sci-Fi Talk Plus continues its special offer. 1,000 episodes, commercial-free, uncut, and even special programs. Best part, it's free. Click on the link in the show notes for free lifetime access. But the special offer expires on May 1st, so take advantage of it now. This is Tony Tilotto.